Woo, Jesus. Well, I want y'all to know that the Holy Spirit started with me on Monday morning. And I have been praying for everyone that is here this morning since Monday. The Holy Spirit put it on me Monday morning to start praying for every person that's here this morning. You're here for a reason. Okay? So I want you to know that I've been lifting y'all up all week. Not by name, but I've been praying for everybody that was going to attend this morning. Every day. Every day. Now, I will tell on myself that I did put a reminder in my phone starting on Tuesday so I would make sure that I was doing what I was supposed to do, because sometimes I forget. And so, but I was steadily faithful with the Holy Spirit this week about praying for y'all. Pastor Corey's been talking about love, right? We've been on this love walk, and Howdy and Rusty, and I've preached on it some. And a couple of weeks ago, part of Sharon's Bible study was about walking in love, and that was awesome. And I hear that, and then Pastor Corey last week, and it's like, man, he was just, the Holy Spirit is so good, because it was just setting mine up. Because I've been working on this for 2 or 3 weeks now, because as Howdy and I laugh about, when you minister under Pastor Corey, you always have to be ready, because you never know when he calls the night before and says, oh, by the way, you're up and I'm not going to make it back. So God had put this message on my heart a few weeks ago, and I'd started praying about it. And so when Pastor Corey ministered about how do you respond to your enemies, how are you ugly to your enemies? Are you hateful? And one thing that he really said, and we're going to talk about this later in the message, but is that he talked about your enemies, our enemies, my enemies, the enemy, the main enemy, the devil, wants us to be in fear. Pure, plain, and simple. And to me, if he gets us in fear, then once he gets us in fear, he gets us confused. And once he gets us confused, you see how it snowballs? So that's what the devil wants us to be, is in fear. How do we respond to that? And it was so neat that Corey talks about that it's a spirit. It's not the flesh. It's not that person. Because a lot of times people say something, but they don't even know, they didn't even hear what they said. And then somebody else repeats it. And so we get mad or we're offended. But you know what we're going to talk about today is that this love thing is a force. It's a power that we're going to use, that you can use. If you're walking in love, man, that fear factor thing is not going to come upon you. Amen? A couple of times ago when I ministered, I'm getting to the title so that I don't get in trouble. So a couple of months ago when I ministered, the title of the message was Be. And what it was about is people get so confused about, what am I supposed to be? What am I be? What does God want me to be? And so I've ministered on that. Just a few things that we talked about was, first and foremost, he wants us to be saved. That's what the Bible says. That's why he sent Jesus. But he loved us so much. He loved us so much that we can be saved, that Jesus saves. And then he wants us to be imitators. We're supposed to be imitators. Ephesians 5:1 says to be imitators of God, right? And then the next verse says to love as Christ loves us. So that's what we're supposed to do, is be imitators. So then the next message I did was, y'all can see I'm kind of getting to where I'm going. And the next message I titled was Be Right. And I was talking about doing the right thing. You know, sometimes doing the right thing hurts, doesn't it? People are going, uh-huh. It does. Sometimes you don't want to do the right thing. We went to West Texas a few weeks ago, and thank God my walk in love has been good. Because the way them folks drive out there will make you not want to do the right thing. I promise you. But you know, it's so much easier now to walk in love and not get upset about it. It's not a big deal. Well, it's just not a big deal. So to be right is to do the right thing. We take responsibility for what we do, right? Jesus says that if we love him, oh, there's that word love again, that we'll keep his commandments, right? So the title of this message today is Be Right with Love. Amen? So not only are we going to love people, but we're going to be right with love. We're going to do the right thing, and we're going to love them the right way. Amen? Okay, are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Say, I'm ready. This side's readier than this side over here. Come on, are y'all ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Yes. All right. I'm going to start here. James 1:21 says, But be ye doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving your own self. Now, everybody say this. Say, I'm a doer of the word of God. Say it again. I'm a doer of the word of God. Okay? Now, one thing that you have to determine is, am I really? Because it starts now. I am going to be a doer of the word of God. Because Jesus says that if we love him, then we're to keep his commandments. Well, in order to keep his commandments, don't we have to be doers of the word of God? I mean, right? That kind of makes sense to me. So, in Matthew 22, one of the students Jesus was teaching, they asked him, said, What is the greatest commandment, teacher? And he said, To love thy Lord God. There's that word love. To love thy Lord God with all thy heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy mind. Amen? That's the greatest commandment. But Jesus didn't stop there, did he? No. He said, The second greatest command is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Come on. Come on. Man, it's okay. I'm like Pastor Corey and Howdy, and when we preach up here, it's nice to hear an amen or a yeah or whoo, yeah, brother. It's okay. Man, because if not, some of you want to start doing this. Ain't no time for that. You can sleep at home. Because that's one thing our pastor says, is we're not going to have another dead church service. Amen? Oh, so you need to get fired up right now. You need to get ready. So, in James 2, verse 8, listen to this. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it says you will do well. Huh. Well, okay. I mean, you'll do well. Well, that's good. But on face value, if you just look at that word well, you think, oh, that's okay. I mean, I'm going to do well. But I don't have to do well all the time. You know, if I don't love that guy over there, well, that's okay because, you know. But doing well, you can do well 90% of the time. So I looked up that word well in the Greek. And in the Greek it says, rightly so, there will be no room for blame. Oh, wait a minute. There's blame involved here. Well, see, when we're dealing with Jesus and we're supposed to be doing the right thing, when you're doing right, that's free of blame. So it says here that if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you will do well. So, you'll do rightly so, there will be no room for blame. Amen? I don't want to be blamed by Jesus, do y'all? I don't want God to go, oh no, you weren't very nice. You didn't really love. So, as the Holy Spirit really put this on me about what is love? Because I think that for a little bit, there's some confusion at times about love. Because we've been talking about the agape kind of love, and that's what we're going to talk about more today, is the God kind of love. But as you study and you read, you find out that there are other types of love. There's eros, which is the romantic or sexual kind of love. There's an attraction there. And then there's one, and I like this word. I don't know why I did, but it's storge. okay? And that is the kind of family love that you have for your family and your spouse. And you can have different kinds of love for different. And then there is philos, or philios, how philois. Anyway, y'all get the drift on that one. I'll spell it for you if you want to write it down. That's the kind of love that you have for a best friend. So everybody with me so far? Y'all got those three kinds of love, right? Okay? Because your best friend, like the filio, that's one that you're drawn to somebody, and that's y'all are drawn as friends. And that you would do a lot of things for your friend, right? Right. But then there's other categories of love that we don't even talk about. Because how many of you have ever said, I love chocolate? Well, a bunch of you have. Come on now. It's okay. It's okay. My wife, this time of year, I mean, it's all year long, but when fall gets here, the other day, we got to get more pumpkin. I love pumpkin. She does. I mean, it's okay. We've had everything pumpkin for the last 2 weeks in my house. I like pumpkin. Don't really love pumpkin. Probably like she loves pumpkin. But when you stop and think about how did I use that word love when I said I love French fries? Do you really love French fries because you just ate one? Stop and think. See, people I love, I don't normally bite them on the arm or chew off a finger, right? So now, as you think about love, we have to understand, do I use that in the right way with the right person at the right time? If y'all know me at all, and I've been around you, a lot of times when I leave you, I say, I love you. It's what I am and who I am. But let me tell you what, it didn't happen overnight. It's taken me years to get to this. But you know what? Man, it's empowering. Empowering. W doesn't want to come out this morning. Biblical love, like God's kind of love, God's kind of love is kind and it's tenderhearted. So, here, glad I looked at my notes. I have a picture on my phone of something I want to read y'all. It's the definition. Agape, that's the God kind of love. Agape denotes an undefeatable, this is out of Strong's, undefeatable benevolence and unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return, and does not consider the worth of its object. Agape, y'all better listen to this. Agape is more a love by choice than philos, which is a love by chance. And it refers to the will rather than the emotion. Agape describes the unconditional love God has for the world. Did y'all hear that? God's kind of love, see, God has a choice to love us, and He does. He tells us that. We have a choice to love Him back, because that's the way He made us. Because it wouldn't be, we would be relying on emotions. Well, some of y'all know that a lot more people are emotional than others. Woo! One day I love you, one day I don't. One day I love you, one day I don't. Yeah. If you have a teenager, you've experienced that. Or you've had teenagers. Right? Yeah, some of y'all are going, that's the truth. Oh, moms and dads are going, whoa. So when we understand that God's kind of love, which we're supposed to have for other people, it's a choice. It's a choice. So when we choose to walk in that, it'll start changing you. And it starts changing us from the inside out. Okay? And I'm going to give a little quick testimony how it's changed me, just so you'll know, because I was really surprised the other day. I've worked at really walking in love, but the test was that we were in a parking lot in Cedar Park. Laurie and I were there in the middle of the day, and two ladies came going across the parking lot. Now, it was obvious that their choice was not a Christian marriage, right? Y'all following me? They were, you know, probably lesbians because they displayed it very well. Let's just leave it there. And I'm not talking bad. Now, as I saw them, I looked to Laurie because the old Ricky probably would have said something. Who knows? And out of my mouth came, "Father, I pray for them. I pray that you start softening their heart to see how that they are really supposed to be by the Word of God. And that you show them what a godly marriage is really like." And I'm like, Laurie looked at me and I went, "That came out of my mouth, didn't it?" You see what happens when we start practicing those things. I kid you not. That's what came out of my mouth. And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit." Because at the time that I was probably going to smart off, the Holy Spirit spoke. And Laurie goes, "You know, maybe we should not, that's what we should start doing just when we see out, and not just, that we need to start praying like that." Y'all, we don't have to make fun of that. Because when we make fun of that, we're not loving them. We're not having the God kind of love. Amen? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave it here because I'm going to move on. But the Holy Spirit's urging me, and I don't want to be disobedient. However, you're going to have to love me on what I'm fixing to say. Being in the homosexual life is no bigger sin than drinking too much, cheating on your husband or wife, eating too much. Yes, chocolate, you ask for forgiveness and move on. But y'all, gluttony's in the Bible. But see, as a society, we don't put on it that those people, that sin, we put on it as, well, that's a lot bigger sin than just drinking too much or cheating on your wife or husband. Y'all know, you've seen it. I've talked to too many people that when they see it happen, they go, they see somebody drinking too much and don't say a word. So we have to learn to start having that love walk. And when we see that, it's like what came out of my mouth, you start praying for them. Said, "Lord, I love them and I want you to touch them. I want them to know what I've got in a marriage, in a man and a woman. What your word says is just a man and a woman and that's it. There's nothing else." Okay? Okay, I'm moving on because that's a longer message. Okay, y'all find 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Let's liven up. I didn't mean to get heavy on you, but it's the truth. Amen? That's what the Word says. 1 Corinthians 13. So it's important that I just defined love for y'all, right? The God kind of love, agape. So let's look at what the Word even expands it, okay? The Word even expands love. It tells you the characteristics of love. Paul's telling us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to start in verse, you know what? Let's start in verse 1. That's not where I wanted to start, but that's where we're going to start. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal." So it's telling us that he speaks with tongues, but if it's not love, then it's just a bunch of wah, 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 wah. Right? I mean, that's Ricky's interpretation of brass and cymbals. Wah, 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 wah. Okay. Verse 2, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains." Ooh, did y'all hear that? "I have enough faith to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." So that's telling me that love is a lot more important. You have those other things, but without love, it's wah, 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 wah. Okay? I don't know how you spell that. If you put that in your notes, good luck. Wah, 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 wah. Y'all with me? I mean, that's what those two verses said, and it's the Word, and the Word is the truth, right? That's what the Word is. So it says that if I have faith to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Let's read on. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it doesn't do a dadgum thing for me. Amen? That's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. So obviously, Jesus said the greatest commandment was to love thy Lord, God. The second greatest commandment was to love thy neighbor as thyself. Have y'all kind of figured out love must be pretty important? Amen? The God kind of love must be pretty important. Okay, so let's read on. Verse 4, love endures long, and I'm reading out of the Amplified right now, sorry, I switched over. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Well, it tells us that God's love is kind and tenderhearted. So right here, it's telling us, just as we blow it out, that love endures. It's patient. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you need some patience today? Yeah, I hear some laughs. I see some heads shaking. But see, as we walk in love, and we're walking in love, and we understand what that love is in us, we have that patience, y'all. You have that patience that when you are talking to somebody and they're doing this in your ear, that you're not going, stop it, stop it. Oh, you're awake now, aren't you? Instead, you go, oh, that's nice. That's nice. But let's move on. See, we have that God kind of love, and if we strive for that, then we get that characteristic that we can endure conversations like that. We have the patience. But yet, in those instances, you can still reply kindly, right? That nyah doesn't come out in you, even though you would like to, and that's the old. That's the old, see? We forget sometimes that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new man. And that old is supposed to be put away, right? But that old man sometimes like a little three-year-old on your pant leg. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that little three-year-old won't let go. That old man still wanting you to go, oh, yeah, but you'd like to punch him in the face right now, wouldn't you? See, but when you get a hold of walking in love, it's like, man, this stuff won't bother you anymore. And then what happens is you see other people trying to deal with it, and you start praying for them and help them. Because I'm telling y'all, walking in love is probably the most powerful thing that we get in, because it's from God. It's God's kind of love. Amen? Are y'all with me? All right. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. All that's saying, y'all, is it's not boastful, it's not braggadocious about, oh, look at me, I did this, I was nice to these people over here and these people over here and this over here and da-da-da-da-da. That's what it's talking about. Plus, it's talking about that, you know, I remember back years ago that when the lottery first came out, I don't know why I'm going here, but I am. And you know, they'd have those big jackpots, and you'd hear about somebody win it, man, and go, dadgummit, why can't it be me? It's similar to what we're talking about right here, you see. You're envying and jealous of somebody else that has something you don't. Love's not that way. You know, now when we hear about stuff like that, we go, praise God, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that happened to them. See, that's what walking in love is about. Can you do that I knew some people one time that when I was growing up, mom and dad get a new dishwasher. And these people would come over, well, oh my Lord, they would be jealous, and they'd go get them a new dishwasher. And then they'd be come by a little later, and we'd have got something else new. Oh, well, then they went and got something. One of them would even ask you how much stuff cost. Well, how much do you pay for that? See, love doesn't do that. Love is, man, I am proud for you. That is so awesome. Man, good for you. Because, see, if you're praising and you're thanking God for somebody else, then it's coming for you. But you have to be walking in that love. Everybody say love. Love. The God kind of love. Yeah, it's not the other three that we talked about. It's the God kind of love. Are you ready to, you know, sometime we talk about doing that and somebody goes, well, I don't know. Well, you got to be ready. Wouldn't you want your life to be better? Wouldn't you want your life that when things come against you, that you know how to handle it? That you don't get all balled up and that you don't get all in fear? Because what Pastor Corey said last week is that's what the devil wants. He wants us scared, y'all. Because if he's got us scared, then we're not going to produce. And I use that, it's the word that comes to mind. We're not going to be productive Christians. That's what we're supposed to be, y'all. We're supposed to be serving the Lord. We're supposed to be teaching people about Jesus. We're supposed to be telling all of our friends about Jesus. People we don't know. And when you walk in love, it becomes easier to tell people about Jesus. It's easier to go up and say, hey, how are you doing? And you can tell a lot of times when they're not in a good mood. Man, God loves you. God loves you. You know what? Jesus loves you. And so when you start talking that way, you start moving people's inward man to start receiving about our Jesus, about our love. So that when we get this, then when the devil tries to bring that fear, which turns everything away, because what happens is he brings that fear against us in a bunch of different areas, y'all. He does. He brings it in your health. Man, but when you're walking in love, you don't react to things when they come to you. Or your finances, or your family members, you know, or people, or your friends, or your job. When you're walking in love, this stuff just rolls off you, y'all. It does. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Ah, more than one. Thank you. I love it. See, walking in love is a power. It's a force, y'all. And it's a force that people wonder when everybody's going crazy around you and you're standing there going, that's cool. You're just looking at it and they're all going, what? When you have the love of God on the inside of you, man, it's an awesome thing. It is an awesome thing. And if I don't keep moving, we're not going to get to how I prove it to you. Verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Oh. It pays no attention. When somebody does something to you, it doesn't care. Walking in love does not care. When somebody, you hear stuff about you. Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. We've been under, Laurie and I have been under Pastor Corey and Jamie for over 12 years now. We've been here at this church over 10. And when we first came here, I'm going to tell you what, Ricky wasn't sure he was supposed to be in the ministry. I started seeing things that I'm like, oh, my Lord. I saw people, y'all, I can't use that word. I can use this word. I saw people do things to our pastors, Corey and Jamie. Ugly, hateful stuff over the years. And I've seen them leave. And I'd see them come back 3 or 4 years later. And you know what our pastor did? Loved them. Oh, my Lord. They open arms, love people when they leave and when they come back. Y'all, that's walking in the love of God. Amen. That's why our pastor is so good at teaching and preaching on walking in the love of God. Because that's what he is. Y'all, that's what he and Jamie are. And when we first got in the ministry, and I told him, I said, but I see this, and I just want enough. Y'all can't do that to my pastors. And they go, but that's our walk, is to love people. So I strive for that because I see what they do and how they do it, y'all. And it's not it's just like Pastor Corey says, it's not that things don't come against them, because it does. But it's how that they go through it. And when you walk in love, we've learned that when we walk in love, man, it's a lot easier to go through that junk. Amen. You get through it a lot quicker. And you don't go to bed at night not being able to sleep and worrying about it. So we should be praying and be so thankful for our pastors. But I tell you what, they are the epitome of walking in love. I tell y'all. All right, move on. Let's go to 1 John 4. And we're going to start closing. Even because it's 11:42, but I'm going to start closing now, so maybe I get there. 1 John 4. First John 4:17. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. So in 1 John 4:17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. See, because if we're walking in love, do y'all remember back to that verse of Scripture that it said that if you fulfill the royal law, that love thy neighbor as thyself, you will do well? It says, rightly so, you will not be blamed. Well, that's why you can have boldness in the day of judgment, because you're walking in love. Because as he is God, is, so are we in this world. Listen to this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Whoo, amen. I love that. See, that's what I've been talking about. When you're going through junk and you're walking in love, that fear is gone. It's gone. That fear of, oh, I can't do this, or I got to do this, or this is not happening. But if I'm walking in love like I'm supposed to walk, then that fear doesn't come on us. Amen? Yeah. And it's so powerful. It's just so, it's delivering. Y'all, I can't even think of the words. You know, and I've told y'all that Laurie and I have been walking stuff out for a while this year, you know? And thank God for walking in love, because the fear tries to come on us, you know? And she and I start talking to each other and going, okay, what are you thinking? And I would say, oh, this is what I'm thinking. She said, okay, good. I'm glad we talked about that. Because that's what happens. The devil wants you to start feeling that fear in changing what we know is the right thing to do. Amen? Amen. All right. So verse 19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to understand that with walking in love, there's a few things that are made easier. We've been talking about one of them, going through things and the fear. Another one is, and this is really been on my mind lately that I've been doing, is that when you walk in love, you know what? It's easier to admit when you're wrong. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm not wrong. There you go. You know, that's one thing I found out, because it just happened about two or three weeks ago. Me and a guy were talking about something, and he remembered reading it one way, and I remembered reading it another. I said, well, I don't know, you know. And so when I got back to my hotel room, I looked it up, and I texted him and said, hey, man, you were right. I didn't remember it right. You know, it was okay. I wasn't embarrassed about being wrong. And I said, man, you were right. That's all it was. He didn't go, ha, 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 I told you so. You know? But don't be like, how many of you remember the old show, Happy Days? Fonzie. Do y'all remember? Some of you young folks are like, what are you talking about? Go Google it, okay? If you've never heard of Fonzie, go see. But Fonzie had a problem. He would go, he couldn't admit he was wrong. He would go, it couldn't come out. You see, when we walk in pride and we walk in not in God's love, you can't admit that you're wrong. What's the big deal about being right? You know, another thing that it is that it's easy to, even though you're right, you don't have to be right. You know, have you ever talked to that person that they know, they think they know something, but you really know the truth or what's right? Do you have to try to force it on them? No. See, it's easier when you walk in love, just listen and go, oh, wow, that's cool. That's cool. Because if you say something to the contrary, does it make any difference, really? No. Are you spreading God's love if you're standing up and arguing with them? No. So when you learn to walk in God's love and you have it in you, man, that stuff is just like, phew. And I admit, man, I used to like a challenge. I could debate with the best of them. But it gets, the older I get and the more that I realize that's wasted breath, y'all. If you know you're right, that's fine. Be right. But you don't have to tell the person that you're arguing with or they want to argue with you. Just go, you know, that's cool. That's great. It's easier to be right and not admit it. Walk away. Okay? Trust me. Trust me. Number two, the next thing besides admitting you're wrong is, as we've talked about, easier to go through things. And that's because of the fear. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. The third thing, and I'm getting close. So the third thing is, and I didn't save a whole lot of time for this, it's probably best. The third thing is that when you walk in love, and this is one of the things that Sharon talked about, was forgiveness. See, when you walk in love, it's a heck of a whole lot easier to forgive people and forgive yourself than when you weren't walking in love. Amen? So Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God forgave you. Okay? Now I'm fixing to show y'all something real quick. A while back I ministered about, because the question was, I was preaching on joy. And the people said, well, you say, you know, how do I have joy? I mean, I just can't get joy. You have joy in you. And I showed y'all that. John 15:11 says, Jesus says, may my joy remain in you. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when we are saved and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in us. We have the joy of the Lord already in us. It's a choice to activate that joy every day. It's what the Word says. Right? Yeah. It's just like we were talking about the lady at the well. You know, when you go to sow seed, but you say, I don't have any seed to sow. But if you look up in the Word says that God says He provides seed to the sower. What a God. He gives me joy that's already there. It's my job to activate it. He gives me seed to sow. It's my job to sow the seed. People go, I can't forgive. I don't know how to forgive. I'm not God. Like God forgives. I'm not God. No, you're not. That's right. Some of y'all may have used that before. I don't know. Y'all were laughing about it. My delivery wasn't that funny. But you're not God. But listen to Romans 5:5. Are y'all listening? Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Everybody say, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Oh, excuse me. You have God's love inside you. Amen. You can walk in love, God's kind of love. It's already in there. It's already in there. do not tell me you don't have it unless you're not saved. And if you're not saved, we're going to get you saved this morning. But do you hear me? You have God's love already in you if you're saved. So, therefore, the same kind of love God is. Listen again. The same kind of God of love God is dwells in me. Say, dwells in me. Listen to this. Therefore, I can forgive with His love just as God does. No, you can't forgive because you're in the flesh. Amen? But God's kind of love lives inside you. And you are forgiving using God's love that's inside you. So do not say that I can't forgive somebody. Because it's a mute point, y'all. If you're saved, you have the love of God, the God's kind of love inside you. The Word said it's shed abroad in our heart. Now, the choice is, are you willing to use it? Amen. See, I challenge you. God gives us the choice. He doesn't beat us over the head. But as you get His Word, and the more that you get into His Word, and you find out, oh, I have joy in me already. I can use it. I have God's kind of love in me. It's what Romans 5:5 says. It's shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. I can use that love. Why don't you start using it? Why don't you start using it? Y'all, because I can tell you that when you go through things one way, the ugly way, that all you do is you feel mad, beat up, you want to fight the world, and then you get up the next day and that's kind of how you feel again. Amen? But if I'm walking with the joy of the Lord that's in me, and I'm walking because I've got God's love in me, I get up every morning going, all right, what are we going to do today? Who are we going to see? Am I going to get a chance to minister to somebody? Am I going to get a chance just to say, you know what, God loves you? See, because that's what we're supposed to do, y'all. It's up to us. It's up to us to start forgiving people. Forgive yourself. Some of y'all been carrying unforgiveness against yourself for 20 years. It's time. It is time, y'all. Love me on this. Get over yourself. Please, but get over yourself. You know it? Because you're the one carrying the baggage. Let it go. Let it go. It's now time that you start this morning. Say, I start walking in love, God's kind of love. Okay? So I heard all y'all. I saw your mouths move. There's going to be times when walking in that God kind of love is still not easy. But trust me, I can speak from experience. Keep going. It's power, y'all. It's God's kind of power. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's the kind of power that moves mountains. Okay, I admit I was wrong. I have one more scripture. See, it was easy. It didn't bother me at all to tell y'all I was wrong. Go to Mark 11 real quick. We're going to close. Because this is about walking in God's kind of love. And God's kind of love, I'm gonna leave y'all with a challenge for y'all to just pray about this week. Because I want you to really take what we've talked about this morning and start using it in your life. You have it in you. Did I not prove that to y'all? Yeah. No, I didn't prove it to you. God did. Amen? Okay, but then I'm going to extend it a little further. Because the extent of forgiving people is walking in God's love, right? Y'all look at Mark 11, verse 25. And it says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Ow. That steps on my toes. I'm not afraid to admit it. So, that's how strong forgiveness is, y'all. Our Father forgives us for everything. You know, when He forgives and forgets. Now, you have friends that might forgive you, or you may forgive someone, but you don't want to forget. See, that's not walking in God's love, right? So when we learn to walk in God's love, all that stuff is behind you. Put it behind you and move forward to the mark of the high calling. Amen? Amen. Do you get it? Y'all, start practicing walking in love. It will change. It's a life changer. It is a life changer, and I'm a walking testimony to that. I have enjoyed going through life this way so much more than the old way. I pray that y'all get a hold of this morning. Amen? Have y'all had a good time this morning? Amen. Yeah. Well, one thing that we do here at Cowboy Church, if you're visiting or you're fairly new at church and you still haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's one thing that we do here. Is that's what our pastor's passion is it to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I tell this story ever so often, because the Holy Spirit brings it up in me, somebody needs to hear this. So I'm going to tell you that I wasn't saved until I was 25 years old. And we were going to have one of our babies baptized, and it was at a different brand of church, one of those other brands. We're non-denominational here. I'm not going to tell you what brand. Some of you may know when I tell you. But and the minister asked me, he said, well, Ricky, are you saved? And I went, I guess. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. And he said, no. He said, have you ever confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior out of your mouth? And I said, I didn't know you had to. Nobody had ever told me. I've been going to that church, that brand of church, since I was in high school. I played in the orchestra at the church. The minister would preach every Sunday. Not once in those 7 years or 8 years did they give an altar call for anybody to give their life to the Lord. This is a big brand of church. And I didn't know. It wasn't because I didn't want to. I didn't know you had to. Didn't tell me. So, but before that, then that church, before your baby could be baptized, you had to confess. Well, I did. I wanted to. Man, if I'd have known 8 years younger, I'd have done it. So if you've experienced that, don't feel misled. Because today's the day. It's okay to wait now. Like I said, I hear people, I got saved at 8 years old. Y'all, we've done services where there have been 85-year-old people get saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want everybody to get saved, but the older people get, man, get done now. Right? So right now here at Cowboy Church, we always give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're not going to do anything silly, but we're going to say a prayer out loud, and we're going to have all the believers say it with us. Because the Word says in John, or Romans 10 and 9, that to confess out of your mouth that the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So we're going to do that right now in a prayer. We're going to have all the believers pray it with us. So you won't be saying it by yourself. But right where you sit, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask you right now, out of your mouth, believers, say this with us. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come in and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. Father, I thank you that Jesus died on that cross and He rose from the dead. Father, I thank you that today, that your kind of love, Father, just got shed abroad in my heart. Father, I thank you that today is my God day. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed still out of respect to others, if you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're not going to do anything to embarrass you, but the Word says to acknowledge Jesus before man, and He will acknowledge you before the Father. So if you just said that prayer for the first time and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, I want you to get your hand up real quick. We're going to get you a Bible. There's a card in there. If you would, fill it out and just put it in one of the offering buckets later. But if you just said that prayer and received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, on the count of three, get your hand up real quick. One, two, three. Anybody? One, two, three. Anybody? Be bold, because that's what the Word says. Be bold. All right. Y'all look up. Hey, everybody's saved in here then, so bring some more folks to church. Amen. And I'm going to let Miss Sharon close for me this morning. Y'all welcome Sharon, please.